Wrong computer.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sergeant Martinez, your host for Veterans Talk. Today, we have a special guest, a friend of mine from the Marines. He's a doc, corpsman. Name is Doc Crowley. He is the owner and founder of J. Crow Consult. He teaches casualty combat care. A little bit of background from my end. He'll explain it right after. He's a Bronze Star recipient with a Combat V, Purple Heart. And right now, I'm going to pass it off to him, and he's going to explain his story on how he gets to where he got.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate your service, too, and I enjoyed being with Marines like you, and it's awesome seeing you go into firefighting and law enforcement as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was a bad kid throughout like middle school, high school, and like college. So like I basically didn't know what I want to do in my life. I want to join the military, but like my parents were like, well, you should go to college first to see if you like it. And I did kind of, but I still was a bad kid. I was doing like drugs, chasing women, just doing crazy stuff, and did the whole firefighting associate's degree. And I was like, well, now what? And they're like, well, you can still join the military since you did the firefighting stuff. Because I did a little bit of firefighting and EMS before the military.
Yeah.
So did that. So I graduated 2008 from Hocking College, and I joined the Navy in 2009. Went from Great Lakes Boot Camp to Great Lakes Corpsman School when it used to be there before Fort Sam back in the old days in 2009. Crazy how time flies. And then, right. Yeah. And then my dumb ass, like, I thought I was going to be all Slick Rick and like, oh, I'm going to, you know, go to Cuba. Well, lo and behold, it was Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And I got stationed there at the hospital. So, like, it was cool for, like, the first, like, 6 months. And, like, I did everything. I got old after a year. And, like, it was Blue Side Command. And we dealt with, like, the detainees. We had the Haiti earthquake in 2010. So, around 2011, once my 18-month mark got out of there before I got in more trouble, I basically was like, all right, well, I'll take my chances to go greenside with the Marines. So I went Camp Pendleton for FMTB or FMF training, whatever they call it nowadays. Did the whole greenside training. It was like another boot camp or whatever. It was actually a lot of fun. I actually had fun there. And then got attached with 17th Suicide Charlie and 29 Palms. Basically did the workup for Sangin in Afghanistan in 2012. Went to Bridgeport for Mountain Medicine. Went through all that other stuff. Then went to Sangin in Afghanistan, did my thing there. Had a couple, had my own squad mask cast. Had a bunch of other crazy stuff happen. Came back, became a coyote instructor, and then got out. And I did 26 months overseas total in my 5 years. And then I went back to the fire at EMS, got my bachelor's degree public safety around 2015, and went back into it and, you know, contracted for a little bit, teaching classes, and started my own company. And here I am. So.
Right. Now, I know you shared with me on Instagram, one of the guys that you treated, WMT, that actually went on one of the mountains. Tell me about that. Like me, listen, whenever I see Marines freaking do amazing things, and then like, it's just a small community, and that's like fucking badass, man. Like, seriously, to even do that, you know, like, tell me about that.
Well, that was Brad Ivanchan. He climbed mountains around the world. I think like Mount or whatever, South America, and also like other parts of the world with his double amputations above his knee. Like he climbed mountains like where it was like freezing cold, which is insane. And then the other amputee I treated, I was in my squad with Chris Van Etten. He was in shows like General Hospital.
Really?
And, underwear model. Like both of them were both like, that's what makes me mad. They're all good looking dudes. They have six packs. Here I am fat as ever. That makes me really mad. They're missing legs. Maybe I just need to lose my legs. Maybe that'll be good metabolism. Who knows? But yeah, Brad's pretty cool. So is Chris. Unfortunately, the 10-year mark's coming up. We had a mass cast, sent out the 10 of us Ranger, one KIA, a couple of them were double amputees above the knee. But yeah, like, both, if you guys look up Brad Ivanchan or Chris Van Etten, they're pretty badass Marines. They motivate me to keep going too, man. I mean, I don't know how they do it without their legs, but they just keep trucking along.
That's literally amazing, because honestly, like, you look at it, all you can do is stay motivated and stay focused. You know, when you look at that, you see an inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it gets depressing, you know what I'm saying, when things happen like that. You know, like, I obviously, you know, yourself and myself, you know, we have our limbs, you know, it's very fortunate, you know, and we can never understand what the hell did they go through, you know. Right. But It's tough, you know, but fuck, they're doing big fucking things, man. Like, it's badass. Shit, especially when you talk about modeling, dude. I'm fat too, bro.
Hey, firefighters, cops, we like donuts, we like chicks, so it happens. Hey,
that it does, man.
We like our ice cream, you guys like your donuts, it happens.
Now, what made you start the company? Like, what inspired you to do it?
For my mental health, I don't know, man. I just saw a lot of flaws in training. And even in the military, people just like hip pocket training or whatever else. And even now with the military, it's kind of terrifying that a lot of these kids don't know their nine lines or how to do IVs or put tourniquets on or use IFAC. It's kind of terrifying. And well, even law enforcement, firefighting, we're kind of behind the eight ball on that too. And everybody wants to do their own thing. I get that, but it needs to be a unified front more and more because I feel like shit's going to pop off in the next few months between us chicks. So that's why I started, because unfortunately the world right now with Ukraine, and you know, even we were part of the Kabul evacuation training people for that 2 years before it happened. It's just the world's falling apart, man. We gotta get ready.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's fuck, man. when you talk about reality, that's like the fucking truth. You know, yeah. And when you talk about training, like I get it, because like even when I was with when I was a firefighter, like I would say, like, the chief that we had at the time, the fucking dude was badass. And always training, always having us train, always having us do things, remediation, everything. That's why I say, like, to work under him and all the lieutenants there was fucking great. You know, so, yeah, I definitely understand, like, the importance of training. And I'm saying, because one hiccup, that's it. Shit goes south. It goes fucking south. And then you got to stand in front of the man to explain what the fuck happened. Nobody likes standing tall.
No, nobody does. I've been down that road too. And, you know, with all the fire departments I worked with over the years, like I've seen people get burned, even police and fire departments, even the corrections. You got to be careful nowadays, man.
Yeah, that's just fucking true. Now, your Bronze Star. Tell us about that.
Well, I was from the... And honestly, like, I wish everybody in my squad got it or above. It was a team effort. Basically, that was the night of June 13, 2012. We're doing a night reconnaissance mission or night OP, dismount. And make a long story short, Brad and Chris stepped on the IEDs, the pressure plates. And it was pitch black darkness and low visibility. It was really hard to see stuff with the night vision goggles or NVGs. And like I said, seven out of 10 of us were injured, one KIA. Bunch of walking wounded, including myself. I took shrapnel in my jaw, leg, and parts of my body. And Taylor Bounty died right next to me. He pretty much died instantly from the second blast. And I actually have a video from Nole, Fob Nole, from the second blast. And I'm going to show it tomorrow in my class to show him why I teach, to show him, hey, man, this was literally me 10 years ago, getting blown up, getting my ass handed to me. So.
And what class you teaching tomorrow?
TCCC. And what's crazy is they've now released the drone videos of the Kabul explosion or the suicide bombing from there. And the one corpsman that was killed was actually from Northern Ohio. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Shit's crazy, man. It's fucking. Yeah. It's just fucking nuts, man. That's. Not really much to say on it besides this fucking, yeah, it gets you. Now, do you miss it? Like, do you miss the military?
I miss the people, but I don't miss the bullshit. I don't miss the politics. I really didn't like how the Marine Corps and Navy, like how it was just getting more dog and pony. Like it was more peacetime. Yeah. Like every Friday we did the dress. Honestly, like I like, but also hate Fridays because, like, of course, everybody wants to show their ribbon stacks. But like, you feel like you're king shit walking through like the comm barracks and see all these young female Marines or like these young guys. Like everyone got off on that, and it was kind of hilarious seeing like guys like, hey, I got a car up. But you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, a call coming in. But yeah, like it just was crazy how. You know, it just got more political down. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Or once we got back from our 2012 deployment, I noticed even when I was getting out in 2014, it just got worse and worse. Got more and more political.
Yeah, it's just like starting going.
Well, even for me, like I should have been E5 or H2 or had other stuff handed me. I actually should have got med boarded out. They recently did surgery on my ankle in January, and they found more shit in my body from sanging. And it kind of made me mad. They're like, yeah, I should have got more help or whatever. But like, they don't tell you that shit in the Marine Corps, Navy. They don't like, and I should have got med boarded out. But like, again, it is what it is, you know? I mean, there's people that got med boarded out from the fucking Mew. And that just made me mad how things were just political in the military. And I just, it was fun. I miss the people, but I don't miss the bullshit. Just leave it at that.
No, fuck. I agree with you on that. Not for nothing. You talk about fun.
I just, that's why I never got NAM. I just didn't kiss ass. I got out as an E4 with 15 ribbons for a reason.
I just didn't give it. Man, I was a 3-7, so you already know how that shit was.
Hell yeah.
The place. Fucking hated 3-7.
Actually, I'm not going to say his name. Disgruntled Docs, he's one of yours. So.
I think, fuck.
Well, him and a lot of other guys, I know they were 3-7, 1-7, 2-7, so we all know each other.
Oh, yeah, of course. You guys all fucking... Yeah. Shit, man. Fucking time flies, man. Like
10 years ago, we were in Afghanistan. What that sink in?
Fuck.
That's what I said. I'm like, damn it. A 10-year of anniversary is coming up June 13th. Fuck. That's 10 years ago.
And it's fucking crazy because when you look at the time and like I see pictures and I see my buddies post up pictures and I post up pictures and it just goes back and forth. And you see the memories come up and you look at yourself like, dude, I fucking look at a picture of me and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I fucking ate myself.
Yeah, I know, man. When you're in your 30s, you're like, I'm gonna be 35. You're just like, fuck, man, I'm fat as fuck. But I can still keep up with the young guys in the fire department. I mean, I'm doing all right, I guess.
And it's funny you say that because before I left the fire department, we were doing a what is it called? Drill.
Rich drill.
An endurance drill. Like pretty much like we're on air.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And all the other old dudes, they fucking were beat. You know, they already finished their can, and it was myself and two other young kids. There were like fucking 21, 22. Dude, chucking it, dude. I'm just fucking going, and everybody's cheering me on, like, yeah, show them young kids how it's done. Dude, it was fuck, dude. It was rough, but I fucking did it. I showed them that I'm daddy.
That's always good, man. That were like even jujitsu. Like I was
See, now that's another thing I saw. I know with everything's bouncing off, but this is what you know, podcast is what we talk about. Real shit and everything we have going on our lives. Now the jujitsu, I know you're with the We Defy program.
They're phenomenal. Know. Along with Legion and Ronin Gym and along with Grove City BJJ. Man, they saved my ass, man. They saved my life. Like they're legit. Along with that and Save a Warrior, all these programs that are meant for veterans, especially We Defy, I highly recommend. And I was working on my third stripe before I had my ankle surgery. I'm just a 2-stripe white belt, but man, I have fun. Gi, no gi, rolling around with cops and firefighters. We always talk trash to each other, or if we beat each other, I'm like, oh, how's it feel to be my firefighter, or vice versa? Like, it's just, it's camaraderie.
Dude, like, I love it. I've been training, I think, for a while now. I can't remember how long. I don't even keep track anymore. Ended up getting hurt at work. And it's crazy because I was working on a transfer to come back up north. I got the fucking transfer, obviously, while I'm injured and waiting surgery. But I fucking go to another gym down in Maryland. I'm already 4 stripes. So I'm like, yeah, I'm about to come back to New York, train with my old gym, get my blue belt, you know, and just fucking like, yeah, I'm fucking bitty badass. And the next thing you know, this shit ain't happening. But like, I love it, man. Like me personally, like. Jiu-jitsu, I think for me mentally, it helps a lot. It's like everything else that's just fucking going on doesn't exist. Like When it's that time to go to class, dude, that's my fucking zone, man.
Right. And that's what I loved about Ronin, because it's so magical or mystical there. Like, you see jiu-jitsu one part of mat, then you see MMA at the other side of the gym, then you see Muay Thai, and then you see boxing. Like, it's a big warehouse gym, and it's awesome. It's like being in a shrine. You see all these, like, different, like, stuff going on with hundreds of people just beating the crap out of each other for, like, a couple hours. It's like, oh, my God. It gets hot during the summer.
No, yeah, man.
I can't wait to go back to it, man. I love it. And, yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I didn't really have a good headspace after my surgery because I missed it. I think me not doing jiu-jitsu kind of screwed my head a little bit, and also kind of ruined my recent relationship, because just I was so used to going to jiu-jitsu and having a schedule, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. You know, I'll touch on this because even when I got out of the military, that shit was rough, man, just to fucking adjust. You know, going in at 17 and then fucking – getting out a couple years later, you know, and I'm fucking like, what am I to do now? Like, what's my next step? You know, and it's like, fuck. And a lot of my buddies, you know, they move to Texas, or some of them sit in California, you know, a couple of them in Ohio. And it's like, my dumbass has to come back to New York. Don't know why. Fucking nobody asked me why. I don't even bother emailing me asking me why. But I did it, you know.
I'll say hi to me, man. I'm in Ohio, so.
Well, you see, that's what I'm saying. Like, but, like, I look at it, you know, and it's just like a lot of us lost contact. Like, for example, I remember the day you was getting out. You gave me a number, and he's like, dude, you ever need anything? He's like, call me. And I got out, and I was like, you know, let me reach out and see how he's doing. And I'm like, fuck. I have nobody's number until one day, fucking next thing you know, I get, I was telling my buddy in the last episode, I was like, you know, I was like, I got a fucking friend request on Instagram. And I'm like, Doc Crowley, I was like, no fucking way. You know, I was like, no fucking way. And I accepted, and I was like, oh shit. I was like, and then because it just happens, you know what I'm saying? Things fucking, when you're getting out, it's just chaotic. Everybody thinks that, everybody says it's a smooth transition.
No, it's not.
It's not.
I do all my firefighter EMT shit. Even when I got out, I had to do my medical. It was not fun. I go through all these academies. It was not fun.
Yeah, that's why I tell people, like, you know, transitioning is not easy. They talk about, oh, well, you guys get benefits. Well, that's not easy either. Yeah, and it's, I tell people, like, you know, if you was on a med board, you know, I was on a med board, you was on a med board, you know, while we were in. So, you know, to get forced out, that fucks with you mentally. And your morale goes down too, because then now everybody sees you differently from higher up. And they treat you differently, you know. But, you know, when we get out, our benefits already kick in. But now for the fucking guys that get out, they're fucked. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, obviously, you know, being an infantry unit,
they don't give
you don't a have shit. The time. Yeah, you don't have the time to say, well, my fucking knee hurts. Okay, suck the fuck up.
That's what they did to me, man. When I went to TTC 17, they're going, you're living out in the field. And I'll never forget when I was turning my stiff gear of all blood in, they try to give me shit about that. And I was like, that's my Marine's blood on it. They're like, well, we got to clean it. I'm like, no, fuck you. You're going to take it.
And it's funny you say that, because when I was in Japan for a little bit before I went to 3-7, I was good friends with a guy who did who worked at SIF, and it was like on a dermal part of it. And he told me, he was like, anything that has like blood or fucking tears on it or shrapnel, whatever, he was like, we just throw it out. He's like, I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, so then why the fuck we have to clean it?
And then end up replacing the gear anyway. It's just the way the military does stuff. Yeah, that's why I was getting out. Like, even like the armor stuff. Like, we have to go to the armory like 4 o'clock in the morning. And then like the armor doesn't come until like 8. And then we hang out there. Like, it wastes the whole day.
Yep. Or when we're going on the fucking hikes, they'll tell you, be there fucking. Oh man, I fucking hated it. 2 in the morning. Next, you know, we don't fucking step off to like 6, 7 in the morning. You're like, what the fuck?
It was ridiculous, man.
Or did not make any sense. Like, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, we haven't won a war in a long time. We didn't really win Korea. We didn't really win you know, Vietnam, Iraq, or Afghanistan. Like, that should probably, like, give them a hint. You should probably do shit a little differently.
No, yeah, and that's why, like, look, like you said, differently. Now it goes back to the business you started. Medical care. Medical care, trauma treatment, everything is fucking... Right. That needs to be harped on. You know, even in fucking... In law enforcement, dude, like, it's fucking big. Like, I'll give you an example. I was working, I would say I was probably like 3 days on, you know, and one of the senior guys was fucking right next to me and was sitting there. Cause I work for the Bureau of Prisons, so federal law enforcement, whatever. So standing there, fucking guys walking, you know, they're going to do whatever. Standing there, next thing you know, I hear is boom. And I'm like, what the fuck? I look left. I thought the guy got punched in the face. You know what I'm saying? But next thing you know, I see him having a seizure right there. So I was like, oh, shit. So I fucking run up to him, turn him over to his side, put his knees to his chest, try to make sure he doesn't fucking choke on his tongue. I'm fucking yelling at everybody, telling him, fucking get on the ground, put your hands in your head, whatever. This fucking guy that's been there for probably like 15, 16 years, just fucking stood there. And I'm just like, dude, the fuck? So I'm over here on the radio calling it in, you know, and it was just like, it showed me like these fucking guys don't know what the fuck they're doing. And they've been on a job longer than me.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And yeah.
It's sad, you know, and sometimes like, and I get it, because even in the military, we were like that too. Like, fuck, death by PowerPoint. Oh my God, fuck.
Right.
But if you try to get into, you know, law enforcement, you know, fucking firefighter, fucking peace officer status, whatever the fuck, it doesn't matter what it is. You can't be complacent on anything. You can't. No. You know, and it's shitty, because if you like we always say in the military, complacency kills.
Right.
That's what it is. And then right now, currently, even for fucking law enforcement, like especially in New York, because I was actually going to transfer to a different agency. You know what I'm saying?
Like lateral move.
Gonna go, huh?
Like lateral move.
Yeah, I was gonna go and do local. Well, NYPD would I have to redo their academy.
Oh no.
Yeah, you know, but I didn't do it. I haven't done it yet because I got injured before I finished the process. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, fuck. I was like, shit's going on in the city. So at this point, I'm like, I'm just gonna lateral over and stay federal. I was like, I'll probably lateral over and stay ICE, you know, or go ICE or whatever and do that. And just push papers. And that's it, you know? But so a lot of my buddies are in NYPD, and these dudes got to be on their fucking toes.
Oh, I believe it, man. I have a buddy of mine, Aaron Emmons. I'll probably tag him on this post too, but he's a FDNY EMS, and he's also a corpsman. And then now he's in the Coast Guard as well as a corpsman. The dude cracks me up. He tells me stories, because I always wanted to ride with FDNY. Jesus Christ, the stories he tells me. I can't even imagine being a cop or firefighter in New York City. They have like a million plus calls a year or something ridiculous.
No, yeah, it's funny because like, and it's weird because like, I would say like before, I don't know what it was. Like a lot of my buddies like, oh, you know, get your concealed carry, do this, do that. And I'm just right. Like, I'm just like, eh, I was like, I don't fucking need it. You know, and the next thing you know, I go to federal law enforcement and end up fucking becoming a fed. And it's like, now it's different. Now I'm carrying everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But now I pay more attention to the news because I'm fucking 9 times out of 10. If I'm at a desk, guess what I'm doing? Like in the military, our computers are monitored.
Oh, right? Of course.
Yeah. So I'm fucking just looking at New York Post. This and that, fucking everything. And I'm like, dude, like, fucking cops got a target on their backs. Like, this is insane.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say, like, if I'm in the city, dude, I'm carrying all the time. I'm carrying.
Yeah, well, they passed a law here in Columbus or Ohio where anybody can carry now. I'm dead ass serious. I mean, I see the good and bad of it, but bro, we had like, we're up there with Chicago now. Murders. We had like 200 some or more like homicides last year, some shit. Dude, it's gonna get crazy during summer.
And that's why, like, I look at that too. Like in New York, like me personally, I was like, yeah, granted, you know, a lot of my friends are like, oh, well, you know, you're law enforcement, you know what I'm saying? You're a federal officer, you know, so you can carry blah blah blah, you know, or you know, the cops can carry. I was like, but still, I was like, I think my personal opinion is like, especially in New York, everybody should fucking have that right, dude. New York is
right. Rough, man. Not like felons and stuff like that. Like
no, like I like obviously legitimate people, because honestly, there's more dirty guns on the fucking street than there are clean guns.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
You know, and it's just ridiculous. You know, it's
an interesting summer for you and me, my friend.
Oh, it's gonna
be, yeah. It's gonna be very interesting.
Like I'm curious to see how everything goes. Honestly, obviously I'll probably still be on medical leave. We'll probably be on a desk. Who knows? Let's fucking see. Huh?
But yeah, I mean, I'm on duty right now. I'm on light duty, but I'm on the squad. I'm on Columbus Fire Auxiliary right now. I usually volunteer downtown. I actually love being on the desk. Like the guys at Station 2 are fucking amazing. And I learned so much from, like, I was doing IVs the past couple weeks. Where I felt like a corpsman again. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I got off surgery and, like, you know, I quit my other firefighter jobs because it wasn't paying much. I had fun down there. Focused on my business and myself and other fronts, but I still love EMS downtown, man. It just reminds me of the good old days being corpsman, just talking shit and just well, off the wall stuff. Like, you're like, what the hell is this?
And you know, it's crazy. That's the biggest thing I think that veterans look for when they get out, is that that brotherhood, that fucking understanding. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because like when you get out, it's, and you talk to your old friends, it's like they look at you like you're fucking weird. Like,
right.
What are you talking about, dude? And you're like, really? I guess we in the military, we adapt to that fucking, that's such that dark humor. You know what I'm saying? And it's like fucking insane. And then people just stare at you when you say some weird shit.
Yeah. Until they're in it, yeah, they won't understand. But I'm all about it, man. And some of the guys there, like cops and firefighters, man, we have dark humor. Same with nurses, teachers, like any stressful job, we have dark humor. And I love it.
Dude, but the thing is, though, you know what's funny? Like, and I get it, like people feel some sort of way, like when cops like say some shit. Like I think there was one recently, I think I see it on fucking TikTok, and this old lady was locked in the bathroom from dementia, but you saw how the cops were just like fucking joking around, you know, like, oh, I was fucking going crazy or whatever, some shit. I'll see if I can find the video, I'll send it to you. And yeah, I'm please. Just like, and I'm like, that's, to me, I find that normal. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I get it. And on the eyes of the outside, it's unprofessional. You know what I'm saying? They could have handled it better, but it's like, fuck, like, you don't know what they've been going through all fucking day.
No, and the problem is, you know, the stigmatism. This is why I bring up Save a Warrior, bring up other mental health stuff. I'm actually thinking about doing mental health stuff for, like,
really?
First responders, like, for, like, critical response, because I feel like cop and firefighter, military, like they kind of throw that under the rug. And like, if you try to get help, then they're like, oh yeah, we'll help you. And then they'll throw you under the bus. Cause I had a friend of mine who's 1-7. I'm not going to say names, but he was one of my scout snipers and he was going through shit. And he was like, hey, like, I'm not feeling well. I'm not, like, he's like, you know, I'm feeling so sad, this and that. And they basically fired him. They're like, you're a liability. Boom. They're like, yeah, we'll get you help. Like, they got him help. And they say, you're a liability. Boom. They fired him. I was like, well, no, it should be more than that, because, like, you know, all these cops and firefighters and people kill themselves because of the stress of the job. Like,
but we gotta do a
better job with that, man.
See, the, you know, and it's funny you tacked on that, because that was going to be one of the episodes I wanted to discuss. But the fact that you just tacked on that, I might as well just bring it in now. Even when you're in and when you get out, you get penalized across the board. Plain right. And simple. When you go to and it happened to me because I went to one of the local PDs. They didn't disqualify me. They didn't tell me no. They just never responded back to me or anything. Mind you, I was number 2 on the list. And I told the mental health guy, like, well, I seek mental health a couple years ago. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, but I'm fine. I get the doctor, fill it out. Never heard anything. You know what I'm saying? And I know a couple veterans, like a buddy of mine, who he's now ICE. And he went through the NYPD stuff and they denied the mental health portion, denied him. And I'm like, you know, they're penalizing you for this.
Like, I'm pretty sure like they can't discriminate like that because, you know, they all they say, oh yeah, we support choose veterans. But then like if you say you got help mental health or PTSD or TBI, then like, they throw you under the bus. And I get the
like I get the legal thing of it, but if the doctor writes a letter or fills out forms that you require him to fill out and he says that hey, he has the blessing, he's deemed fit, then what's the issue? You know, right. And I look at that and I was like, that's the biggest discouragement for veterans. Same thing with the VA. You know what I'm saying? It's like they already went through bullshit while being in, right? So while they're going through the bullshit while being in, they don't want to go through the bullshit while getting out. You know, and the thing is, when you talk to people, it's like, fuck, oh man, you're a veteran, you this, you that, you know, and you talk to these fucking, these police recruiters, firefighter recruiters, yeah, man, you know, we love veterans, you know, we'll take you, blah, blah, blah.
All those recruiters are not even like real cops or firefighters. They're like pretty faces or like they're I noticed that usually like the pretty face people are at the academies or running stuff and then like, or they're in like kosher stations or jobs. And then there's people like you and me that look like train wrecks.
No, yeah. And it's like, and look.
Like what, two or three, like, oh, we're downtown, the busiest station. Like that cracks me up, dude.
And it's fucking, and it's fucking hilarious. And what boggles my mind too, is that obviously I'm not going to mention no names or the agency, but I got passed over for a dude that had a DUI on his record.
Whew.
Right. I don't know how
I would have made that known,
dude. I don't know how the fuck that happened. And how I found out was I never got a call, nothing. And I found out when I saw the post on Facebook and he was in full uniform. And the reason why I remember that he had a DUI is because when we were doing the screening for the psych eval and was filling out like this whole fucking questionnaire where they asked you the same question a fucking million times, right? They just fucking rephrase it.
Right.
And he asked me, he's like, dude, I was like, what's up? Mind you, I played softball with him too. And he was like, dude, he's like, I got a question. He's like, what's up? He's like, I had a DUI like 2 years ago. He's like, should I put it on there? I was like, yeah. I was like, they're going to fucking find out anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because that's within the margin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's 10 year. You know what I'm saying? Like they're looking at 10 years of your fucking life. And then he put it down and fucking the dude got selected. I don't fucking know. I was like, whatever, man. And shit like that. And that's why like a buddy of mine reached out to me and he was like, dude, he's like, go federal. He's like, it's so much better. So I fucking, you know, I did it, you know, but I was just like, this is fucking horseshit, you know? Yeah. And I get it, you know, like I could have made a big stink, but I just left it known because I was like, it is what it is, you know, but it's fucking ridiculous, man. And then that goes back to like the mental aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? Because like, even though you feel that you're helping that person, but you're actually discouraging them, like your buddy. And 1-7, when you like, you get him the help he needs, but then you fire him from his position.
It's like, what the fuck?
And it's a fucking pain in the ass to get a sniper platoon, dude. It's a fucking pain in the ass, yeah. Right? So you work yourself up and built yourself mentally, endurance, everything to get there to fucking tell them, well, you're posted, you're fired, you know, and mind you, you just got the help you need. So now you're in a rut of depression on top of the bullshit that you're going through, you know, and they don't see that. They don't, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, fucking police agencies, and I have to criticize, you know, obviously I'm criticizing myself too. It is what it fucking is. And firefighters too, but they're quick to take somebody that they assume has a clean record, but they're fucked in the mind and they're making life and death mistakes.
And that's exactly it, man.
Dude, like I'll give an example. The whole George Floyd, is not to bring it up because when I saw the video, I thought it was two officers, right? I thought one was on the guy. And then when one was kind of keeping the crowd back, obviously where his knee was, I don't think that was necessary. This obviously being in a military mindset or whatever, in martial arts, there's tons of ways they could have did it, right? But then when they fucking rolled that video around, and there's two other motherfuckers there. And I'm like, really? And then you have incidents where fucking, I don't know, like the chick. This was my big one. This one really got to me.
Is when she shot the dude or whatever?
Yes. And I'm like, you've been on the job. I think she was on the job, what, like 15 years, something like that?
Something.
She was somewhere up there. And okay, so you carry, right?
Yeah, if I'm on a contract or if
no,
I'm
yeah. So when you carry,
So I usually carry like a M2.0, 9mm, whatever. Usually, like cops carry that too. Like, so basically, what cops carry around here, that or Glocks or whatever. Like, it really depends on the job.
No, so yeah, so now for me, right, when I carry, I always put in the same place, right?
Right.
Same thing for you. You wake up in the morning. What do? You either have the inside or the outside carry, whichever one.
Yeah.
So you wear it in the same spot every day. Obviously, it's muscle memory. So being almost 15 years or 15 years on a job, you would expect to know to grab your taser, not your gun. Different weight, right? Different sides. Right. Always your non-lethal is on your non-lethal hand. Your lethal is on your fucking dominant hand. So when she, like, I get it, like, I guess, I don't know, I think they gave her like a year or 2 years, some shit like that.
Something.
I don't fucking know. I don't even know. But that shit fucking boggles my mind. And right there, I look at that and I say, yeah, she was on the job, but she wasn't criticized for anything. But you can tell that at that moment, she was suffering from what? Anxiety, fucking stress. You know what I'm saying? Fucking blood's pumping. High stress environment. If she can't function on that, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what she's been doing in her career. You know what I'm saying? But let's say if you're in a fucking small town, 9 out of 10, are you really going to see something in a stressful environment?
Well, and that's the problem right there. Like, everyone assumes everyone's, even small town or city, assumes everyone's trained until they're in a situation like that. We had a West Liberty High School shooting 2017. That was Podunk Town, Ohio. And that was the department I worked on. I had that active shooter there. The kid with a shotgun shot in there, kid twice the shotgun. The kid lived, but nobody died, but still, like, even these smaller towns or, you know, state troopers, sheriffs, whatever, firefighters, whatever alphabet soup, we got, all of us got to, like, unify and train because it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, honestly, man, like, not to sound cold-blooded, but I think a lot of them are going to get humbled. I mean, it's just kind of like you and I go on deployment, the Marine Corps or Navy or whatever. It's like everyone thinks they're king shit until they get in the first firefighter, get their shit pushed in.
No, and you're absolutely right, you know, and that's why, like, I think right now, a lot of cops, you know, firefighters feel like the backs are against the wall, you know, but it is, but it isn't, you know, because now it's like, I would say it like fucking, and I was growing up, because I grew up in New York, you know, I grew up in the Bronx, and I always had that mindset that, like, the NYPD was the biggest gang. That's the, like the Marine Corps, you know, Navy, you're in the biggest gang. You're in the biggest organization there is. And, you know, but looking from that point of view, you know, it's like everyone's against you. You used to have the politicians and fucking and the people with the money on your side, you know, to help you out. Now it's just like, well, you fucking do something wrong. Oh, well, you're getting street time. You're fucking fired, you know.
Or that they put you in jail, or they crucify or use you for a dog and pony.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that right now discourages, you know, officers and firefighters, because now they don't want to really do their job.
Right.
You know, it's like, fuck, like, should I really respond to that call, or should I fucking wait an extra 15 minutes and then respond to the call? You know, it's shitty, you know, and that's why fucking, you know, training, brother, training.
I know. And trust me, we're going to train tomorrow and the day after, and more is going to come afterwards. And that's, they're the ones that want to learn and save lives and teach, you know, it's train the trainer. And, you know, with my departments locally, you know, they know I'm here. I'm like, you know, they know that what we did for the Kabul evacuation, I'm like, listen, I'm here. I'm right now. If you want to train, you let me know, but we can't keep dragging our feet because more people will die. next few months. That's just straight up. Just more violence will increase. You know, people are going to lose jobs. People can get desperate. That's just reality.
No, yeah. And everybody has to be fucking, have to have that mindset, you know. And that's why, like I go, like, just everybody, just so you know, just go to jcrowconsult.com and you'll see his page. And you see all the stuff that he's done. Like, dude, I look at your page a few times to look, and you got military, civilians, you know what I'm saying? Like, you even, dude, tell me about the whole fucking, like, the live meat. Like, I've seen that. Like, you've used the
Tomorrow and Tuesday, I got pig throats, tracheas, tongues, hearts, lungs, briskets, drumsticks. We go hard in the paint, dude. And occasionally we do live tissue or we do cadavers or whatever, depending on the client, how much they want to pay. But again, like, we got to be careful of that, because even in the military, you know that with live tissue, PETA and everybody else comes after you. But it's good quality training, man. And it's better than just, to me, I think people learn better that way than on a dummy. When they actually see actual blood and actual meat, they're like, oh, this is actually, like, feels real. I'm like, yeah, it's supposed to. Because when you're on scene, you got somebody that has ground beef leg from motorcycle wreck. You're going to see that, and you're going to learn how to, like, put a tourniquet on when it's, like, straight ground beef. It's not, like, a straight shot, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why, like, and it's crazy, because I remember when I went through Combat Lifesaver, and I think we were the second to last class that was allowed to do IVs on each other. And they were telling us they were actually phasing that shit out.
Because a lot of people are fucking them up. That's why.
and it's funny you say that, because we used to use IVs on each other when we used to get fucking drunk in the barracks.
Oh, yeah.
And they took that shit away, too.
I did it on myself. I did it. Trust me, man. I get it. They're one that always hits me up for, like, IVs last minute or whatever. Or they need syringes for steroids. Like, this is, like, you know how Marines are, man.
It just brings back memories, man. It's just crazy. And it's funny, because I'm pretty sure people that listen to this podcast, but these guys are fucking nuts. You know, they don't know what they're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, you know, for us, that was fucking badass. And that was normal. You know what I'm saying? We say, hey, doc, I need an IV. You know, because we're fucking drunk before.
I saw people hit me up for that. And I even held up some of my friends for IVs. Even the guys at the gym, I remember, my coach, Travis, Bam Bam Davis, he gave him an IV. He was giving me shit because he has good veins, whatever, but, like, I got him, and, like, he's like, oh, you almost missed. But, like, you know, we do that. Even a lot of the guys that fight with or do jiu-jitsu with or train with, they, you know, same thing. I felt like I was back in the Marine Corps, just hooking dudes up with IVs and stuff. They're dehydrated. So
now for, your business, are you just recognized in Ohio, or do you travel, like, nationwide?
I did contracts in 29 Palms, Camp Pendleton. Like I said, I've been all over the place, man. Pittsburgh, Miami, Orlando, Patrick Air Force Base, Wright Patterson Air Force Base, Mansfield, Springfield, a bunch of other random bases all over the place. Maxwell was pretty cool, because we worked with, like, C-130s, stuff like that, too. And there was those people getting sent to Kabul. Okay. And it was I don't miss riding the C-130s, but it's kind of cool seeing, like, the students train to load people in and out of the C-130s. And it's the same people that were part of the Kabul evacuation. Actually, a few of them got Air Force Flying Crosses on the C-70s. But yeah, because they were fucking hauling ass, all those people on it.
Oh, shit. Yep. Now, is it just you, or do you have other guys on your team that train?
I have women on my team, but the problem is, a lot of them are cops, firefighters, military, or whatever, nurses. It's just hard to round everybody up because everyone's got crazy schedules. And I got a guy tomorrow coming in. He's a SWAT medic in the up north, northeast. And I got a guy who's Cleveland SWAT, and I got a guy to Milltown SWAT medics, stuff like that too. It's just, again, a lot of, you know how it is, man. You know, first shift, second shift, third shift, or 24s, 48, 72s. Like, it's hard to round everybody up together because everyone's on unit days.
So. Yeah. And then
what's the process to kind of like get into it, like, or to even start it, like to get to where you're at, or even to be an instructor?
Well, if you're going to do it, man, people respect you more if you have the background, like even if you got your EMT or whatever, which I have. I'm a medical assistant, you know, I'm currently working on my nursing stuff. I got too, and I got my IV and phlebotomy, a bunch of sailors, alphabet soups. But people respect you more if you're still in it. Because people are like, well, Crowley, like, why do you still do volunteer firefighting? Why don't you, why do you go downtown? Why do you go on the medic too or whatever? Or why do you do EMS? It doesn't pay much. I'm like, well, people respect you more when you're still in it. Yeah, I saw combat 10 years ago, but you got to stay current what's going on. Because, you know, if you don't know what's going on now, it's going to be a hard time for you. Especially like medications that changes, you know, techniques changes, gear changes, guns changes, people change. You got to adapt to the times. You can't adapt and you're going to have a hard life. Like straight up.
Damn. And it's funny you say that, because I would have never thought of it like that.
Oh yeah, it's like separate Gumby, just like the Marine Corps. Like you're gonna get a frag of order. You thought you were gonna do this, but now you're like, oh, now you're gonna do this. It's kind of like the military. Hurry up and wait, you know. And even the instructor, like a lot of people think, like that's what kills me in the TCCC community or Stop the Bleed. Where everyone thinks like Special Forces or 18 Deltas, PJs. Like no, man. If you're trying to end it for the clout or money, you're in it for the wrong reasons. Then there's people that like started shit with me on social media, like the main memes. I found out who they were. And I found that they weren't really who they say they were, and they got like really embarrassed. And they're like, "Oh, you docs." I'm like, "Well, again, anybody in our community, they're gonna find out who you are. I mean, they're gonna look you up." So, I mean, but if you're gonna do that, you just gotta essentially get experience to back it up. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, see, and like me personally, like. And it's funny because at one point in time, I don't know, like when I got out, I was kind of bouncing over like what the hell I'm going to do.
Right.
Like, I fucking believe it or not, I went to culinary school. No, yep. I did not. I know how to cook food, but I went to do the pastry aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? So I fucking did some little cakes and whatever else, chocolates and things like that. And then. You know, I still didn't know what I wanted to do because I was like, fuck, you know, this is like, yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a hobby. It kind of get my mind off of things, but I was like, fuck, what else I should do? And then I went to, decided to go to college for a little bit. And it was either nursing program or and get into the VA and work there or fucking psychology.
There you go.
And then did psychology for a bit. It was interesting, but then I kind of fell off.
I mean, you can still do quick bonds.
No, yeah, like I was thinking about fucking going back and fucking doing online classes and shit when I can. And then next thing you know, fucking firefighter and then law enforcement and shit, you know, but there was one point when I was in a rut that I was like, fuck, I don't know what to do that. I tried to talk to an army recruiter, dude. Like I sunk that low, man. And I was like, fuck, let me go. And I was talking to him and he was like, what's up, man? He was like, what's going on? I was like, I'm trying to get back in. And he was like, okay. And I was like, you know, but I have, you know, VA compensation, 100% disability, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, okay. He was like, what's your disabilities? I was like, PTSD, TBI, you know, shit like that. And he looked at me. He was like, I'm sorry, brother. He's like, but there's nothing we could do for you. And I was like, fuck. You know,
oh man,
say again,
get a VSO to help you out with your claims. I mean, trust me, like, I keep telling these people in public safety, and I actually helped out a couple guys in the fire department too with this, or having issues with the VA. Get yourself a solid VSO, whether it's like Wounded Warrior rep or like DAV or even like a vet center rep or somebody that knows bureaucracy of VA. I mean, I'm 100% permanent total now, but it took me years to fight for it. And I still have shrapnel in my body, but you got to fight for it. So that way you get not only a chunk of cash in your pocket, but also like get taken care of and have a backup.
No. Yeah. And, you know, and it's crazy because like people tend to think that like me personally, I never fucking like my disability, obviously, you know, fucking everybody, when you fucking mention TBI, PTSD and all this other shit, they already know this fucking dude's crazy or he has 100%. Anyway, fucking, like I always felt in the beginning that was a hinder. You know what I'm saying? Until people started telling me, no, dude, it's not, you know? And like some people are high. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, so I went to that mindset that I couldn't work for a few years. You know what I'm saying? That I was like, fuck. So I spoke to a buddy of mine. He was like, no, dude, he was like, you can fucking get back into it. You know? And that's why, like at that time, dude, I was so fucked up, dude, that I was trying to look for ways out, you know, to try to get back into something normal. Right. And to me, normal was what? The military. That to me was normal.
Well, I mean, because it was simplistic. I mean, just wake up, do your job, and repeat. It's not hard. I mean, but at the same time, you know, it's like any other job. You just got to make sure you play the game. Because a lot of people don't realize we had it easy because we didn't have to pay bills. We lived in the barracks and shit like that. Or they had a roof over their head. Oh, shit. Hold on. I hit the wrong button. Can you see me now?
Yeah, I see you.
Well, yeah, I mean, war in the military was easy, but not because it's basically just work out, jerk off, shoot guns, you know, eat, sleep, repeat.
You fucking hit it on the nose, man, and it's just like for me, I don't know what it was. I guess because I fucking went in at such a young age that's all I knew. I never had a job before that. You know what I'm saying? I never was on my own. I was fucking living at my grandmother's house. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as I fucking got my high school diploma, I was like, deuces. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And fuck. You know, it's like that's the little world that I knew. And saying, especially when I was in, dude, I remember I was in Camp Lejeune, dude. That itself was like its own fucking town. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, man, like that's all I fucking knew. Oh, fuck, man. Fucking Jacksonville. Dude,
I'm like, everyone talks shit about Twin Palms. I like Twin Palms better than Gitmo. At least you can leave the base.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing, too, because if you fucking Camp Lejeune was so fucking big because you had Camp Johnson, you had Camp Geiger, you know, and it's all these other bases connected to it, and you had housing. But when you left fucking Camp Lejeune, you think that you leave the military base. No, you fucking don't. Everybody else that's around there is either fucking prior military, right? Fucking somebody in the military, or Sergeant Major's daughter, or fucking crackhead. You know what I'm saying? And 29 Palms, like 29 Palms, when I was out there, and it's funny because when I went there, I went to fucking Mahogany Viper. And it's a funny story about that because I said I'd never go again. You know, I remember the fucking one of the company guns called me one day to fucking come in the office to bring him some paperwork, whatever. And you remember Nas, the drink Nas?
Yeah.
Dude, I used to fucking chug those things like it was nothing, man. Just stay awake, whatever.
That rip it.
Yeah. So next thing, dude, I'm fucking walking out of the case band from the gunny, whatever. Well, no bullshit. I was inside still. And I felt so fucking nauseous, dude. I felt fucking weak, man, that I fucking threw up everywhere and just fucking fell out. Next thing you know, I fucking wake up and all the fucking corpsmen are around me. You already know what's next. Fucking silver bullet. And then, and he fucked, dude, he was cursing me out the whole fucking time. I never drank Nas again. I was like, fuck this place. I was like, I'm never fucking coming back to this place. Fucking place super hot, fucking miserable. I was like, fuck this. And then fucking probably like 3-4 years down the road, well, I was in Japan at the time because I ended up getting orders. And then I was on an IA billet for a little bit. And then next thing you know, they come on and say, hey, guess what? You're going to fuck it. Well, originally I was supposed to go back to 1-9. They changed my orders. My wife fucking pissed off somebody. She called somebody and pissed off somebody or whatever, because the time that I was there, I had a year orders. They canceled my year orders and extended me out involuntarily because they came out of numerical orders saying there's no, they canceling all year orders. So she pissed somebody off. I was supposed to go back to 1-9. They canceled those orders. Then I was supposed to go to 3-4. They canceled those orders. Then I was supposed to go to some unit in Camp Pendleton. I can't remember the fucking unit. They canceled those orders. And then I'll go back to 1-9. They canceled those orders. And then guess what? That was on a Thursday. So I'm like, fuck, I leave on a Saturday. That Friday evening, I had to stay at the office and check my email because I wanted to make sure where I was going was where I was going. No, fucking 29 palms. I fucking saw that shit and I'm like, fuck me. You know, and wife was looking at fucking places for in Camp Pendleton and shit like that, you know. And I called her. I was like, you know, I was like, we're going to 29 palms. She's like, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. Still California. I was like, no, you don't understand. I was like, you do not fucking understand. And dude, I was fucking tight, man. I show up there. And the funny thing is, when you go there from Hockey Viper from another base, you don't see the whole base.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't see the whole base. It's just you're in the fucking the training area. And then we came back and we went to the MCX, but that was just to get fucking random bullshit. And we go back. Right. Okay, cool. So when I got there, we got there at night. And she was like, oh, it doesn't seem so bad. All the lights, everything. It was lights, obviously, because it's fucking lit up. It's a Christmas tree. Why? Because it's the fucking desert. Dude, morning hit. That fucking heat hit. And when she saw that shit, she started crying. I was like, I fucking told you. I was like, I fucking told you. You know, and don't get me wrong, like, I still kept in contact with my buddies from the June. I still kept in contact with guys in Japan, you know, because, and it's funny because when I went to Japan, I had that infantry mindset, you know what I'm saying? And I was attached to a non-infantry unit, an air wing unit. So I dealt with females and guys. So when I went back into the infantry field, my mindset was different. You know what I'm saying? I was more relaxed. I was more chilled. Because when I went there, I was a fucking asshole. I was a prick. You know what I'm saying? I was being seen by their master guns, always getting yelled at because they do. You can't talk to people like that. You know what I'm saying? So when I went there, you know, I met a lot of cool people. You know what I'm saying? I still talk to my buddy, AJ, who else? My buddy Sam. I talked to you. And it's funny how I met you because when I met you, I got fapped out because 3-7 hated me so much. So they got rid of me and they sent me to the legal center. I was during tax season. That's when I met you.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they hated me so much that they got rid of me. During the deployment, because I was already on the med board, you know, so they got rid of me. They sent me over there. And then when they came back and a sergeant major fucking found out that I was over there working at legal, he was like, no way. It's like, no fucking way. He pulled me back. It was a whole big thing.
That's what Palms does, man. They pimp you out until they're done with you. And that's,
yeah, dude.
That's why I'm kind of glad that I didn't go 3-7 for a second pump to Sangin, because like, I wasn't really right in the head at the time. I needed mental health. And also, I still got stuff going on in my body, especially the shrapnel, and my whole body's just in shambles right now.
Yeah.
I still do stuff now, but, like, no one I know now is like, man, I should have fought harder for med board, or should have like I actually seen like an outside doctor, because like I, my family and I had to pay $1,400 to get shrapnel on my jaw and stuff.
But and it's funny you say that, because I didn't choose med board, and the thing is, I didn't know at that time on what my options were. You know what I'm saying? Like, they told me that, you know, they could have put me in another MOS. I was like, I didn't know. I was like, I didn't fucking know. And so you don't know any better.
In your early 20s, wherever, you kind of want to either get out or just figure it out.
Yeah, dude. And I'm like, you know, I'm like thinking in my mind, I'm like, fuck, like what I'm going to do, you know, because you think you're going to spend like fucking 20 years doing bullshit. And, you know, I was a young sergeant, dude. You know what I'm saying? I was fucking young. Dude, I fucking spent majority of my career as a corporal. Then I get fucking sergeant because I was the only one that got selected for sergeant, because, you know, that is an infantry field. So I got selected, whatever, I got promoted, and I didn't know any fucking better. I still didn't know any better, dude. Right. You know what I'm saying? And getting out, I found out, you know, how different things were, whatever. It was just shitty, bro.
Well, that's why you learn. You know, people got to know their resources, and, you know, we got to get better at, like, for military and civilian, know what resources you have and don't have.
Yeah. All right, everyone, we're coming to a conclusion. Once again, I'd like to thank my buddy Doc Crowley for being on here. And listen, check out his website, jcrowconsult.com. Check out his stuff. If you have law enforcement, firefighter background, reach out to him. Ask for training. Get knowledge from him. You know, great guy. Very knowledgeable. Obviously, you saw our conversation, you know, bounced around everywhere. Went from talking about his business, military, everything, and then now we're talking about random shit. But this is what we're about, you know. Everything's about I can't say that fucking word right.
Camaraderie.
Yes, there we go. That tongue, that word can never fucking roll over my tongue properly. That's the only fucking word. And then soldier too.
When by the way, you would've been proud of me. I killed it in salsa, by the way.
Yeah, I would like to thank you for being on here. You know, once again, you know, hey, give us some reviews on here. You know, we're on Apple Podcasts. You know, go on there, review it, share the podcast to other veterans. If you want to be on the podcast channel, you know, I'll put my email in the description. I'll put Doc's email on there also. If you have any questions for him as well, please feel free to reach out to either one of us, and then also be prepared for the near future that Doc will be on here once again.
Sounds good to me, brother.